TV.
I have not really done you any favors, ladies and gentlemen, by explaining to you everything as wonderfully as I have over the years, because by doing that, I take away from your faith, because then when I explain why God does the things he does, those things which I understand why, I don't understand why on everything, but a lot of things I kind of do. So I explain this to you, and then you go, oh, okay, that makes sense, yeah, okay. And then when it makes sense to you, it's just a little dash of faith that is whittled away. Or if I help you understand something, you say, oh, now we understand why God does this. Thank you, Martin. And I'm thinking, I really haven't done you any favors, because when you understand something God does, although that's important, it is important, but I can look at it another way, and I can say, well, I've shaved away just a little smidgen of your faith. Yes, I'm going to tell you something very radical here this morning. Oh, yeah, you're right. I already have. All right. This is Martin Zunder. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. That is true. I'm a Fort Lauderdalean. I hold court here from my kitchen in Fort Lauderdale at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. So people write me all the time, and what I'm thinking of is a recent correspondence, and I don't know what the topic is, and I don't blame the person for what they asked. It's not that they really asked anything, it's just that they had these objections. And their objection was, well, you say that, you know, like Jesus Christ is among the celestials, and yet we have a priesthood on the earth, and Jesus Christ is also chief priest on the earth. But if you're telling me that right now God is temporarily put Israel on hold, but he's going to take up with them again, it just went on and on. It's like, I don't understand why, or could you please explain to me? It's almost like a challenge. Explain this to me, Zunder. Explain this. God raises people at the great white throne. He judges them, and then some of them he casts into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Why would he do that if, according to you, everything is made right at the great white throne? All right. Now, the thing is, I can explain all these things, but to this person who had all these why, I don't understand, challenging me, basically, explain this to me. Since this is what you believe, how could this be, this be, this be, this be, this be? This is how I answered that person. I said, I'm not going to explain it to you. I don't have to explain it to you. I mean, it would have taken me a long time to write an answer. And I do that sometimes. I just wasn't into it this particular day. But I think my answer to this person was more profound than any detailed explanation I could have written with first references included. And that is, I said, you know what? I don't need to explain this to you, and you don't need an explanation. You just need to believe it. You just need to believe it, period. Just believe it. And after I wrote that response, I thought, I kind of shortchanged the guy a little bit, but then I thought, no, I didn't. I gave him and anyone who read that comment something valuable. And that is that you don't need to understand why God does what he does. You don't need to understand how God does what he does. You only need to believe what God says that he does and will do and has done. Well, I just don't understand how God could make everything in 6 literal days. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you understand it. There was an evening and a morning the first day, the second day, the third day. Evening and morning, those sound like descriptive phrases used when we describe or include in our description the motions of the sun or the light. Light came before the sun, you know, let there be light. Ooh, then the sun came. There are different spectrums of visible light. And there's invisible light. I'll just say there are different spectrums of light. Anyway, But if God didn't create the sun until day whatever, but he created light on day whatever, then how? Well, I can look into it in detail. I can say, well, this certain spectrum existed before this orb existed. But it's better to say, forget, that's what God said he did. That's what God said he did. Why would God form Adam as a complete adult? I don't know. We'll ask him together when we see him. And here's a big one. I have done the body of Christ a great service, but now I'm thinking it's a disservice in explaining the sovereignty of God and how we can still do things being unaware of God's control, but God can still be in control. What do I call that? The absolute and relative perspective. Now, some think that the absolute and the relative are realms. There's the absolute realm, like God lives. This is kind of a separate topic, but this needs to be said. This has caused people confusion, and they get lost in the spiral of confusion, and they make really bad conclusions from their occlusions. So one of these things is that, well, God lives in a sovereign realm, and we're in a relative realm, as if these are addresses. I want to go to the absolute realm now. I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the relative realm. What's the zip code? Can I GPS it? No, you can't. These aren't realms. These are different ways of looking at the same event. They're perspectives, not realms. At the same time you are making decisions, God is causing you to make the decisions. At the same time. Well, Martin, you say we can look at that from the absolute viewpoint, see that God's doing everything, but I like to look at it from the relative viewpoint that I'm doing it. Fine. I don't have a problem with that. Because both things are true. Because we're considering the same event. We're just looking at it from two different vantage points. I mean, you can look at a production. I've used this example many times. You can look at a production, a play. You can look at it from the audience, seeing it from that perspective where it's real. I'm into it. I've bought into the deception here, and I'm following the story, and these characters are real. Or you can go backstage and see the same thing. Or you can crawl up into the under the catwalk up there, and you can stand next to the director and look at the script as the action is rolling out on stage. The common denominator is the action is rolling out on the stage. That's the common denominator. So you can just look at it from two different perspectives, the low perspective or a high perspective. I explain this to people, and there are some people that simply cannot grasp it. I don't know how it is, but they just can't. It's too abstract or something. They don't get it. They think that we're talking about realms, or they don't understand how both viewpoints can be true. It's just somebody taking a viewpoint from a satellite view and another from a ground view. That's all it is. It's that simple. But for some people, it's just too, they think it's theoretical. It's not. But those people who do understand it say, oh man, thank you, Martin. You've explained the nuts and the bolts. Now I know why people believe in free will, but now I understand why free will is not true, because these large verses, such as all is of God, all is through God, all is into God, God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, these things are true. So, but what I've done for you lucky people out there who understand this, I've taken away a shred of faith from you, because now it makes sense to me. Of course God does it that way, yeah. So it's easier to believe. But for people who don't understand the absolute and the relative perspectives, for those who don't, they are in a glorious position, because now they can simply believe what God says. Just believe it. God says he's in control of everything, and at the same time, God criticizes people, and Christ criticizes people. For instance, Christ criticizes Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who stones the prophets and kills all those sent her. How long have I wanted to gather you into my arms as a mother hen gathers her brood, her chicks, and you would not. What's the matter with you people? This is Jesus speaking as a man from the relative perspective, being frustrated at this stubborn nation. But don't you think Jesus Christ knows that it's the Father who either opens up the truth or does not open up the truth to certain people? Didn't Jesus know via Isaiah and from his personal experience that this was a stubborn and stiff-necked nation? Of course he knew that. So we simply need to believe things, even things that we don't understand. You don't need to understand it. This is going to be important for me to tell you this. I'm not sure I've ever told you this so point blank, is that you don't need to understand it. I mean, when people say, I don't see how God could, it doesn't matter. I get a little impatient, but I control it. Because see, patience is a gift of the Spirit, and I want to exercise it. I can only exercise as much patience as God gives me. But I do say a shocking thing to these people. Well, I don't understand how, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not. Well, how can God actually raise people? I don't know how he raises people from the dead. It doesn't matter. He says that he does. Why would God snatch away people? I don't know, but he says he does. He does it. This is what he does. You just need to read it and believe it. Now, Thomas, of course, in the upper room, not believing his friends that Jesus Christ had raised from the dead, he says, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. So then it was Jesus showed up in the room and he explained it to him. Well, see, God roused me from the dead. I woke up. I got up off the slab. I started walking around. I went up to the Father to report. And I'm back, and here I am, and look, this is my body. This is the wounds, the crucifixion wounds in my wrist. Look at this. Opens up a shirt. This is where those Romans stabbed me in the heart. Get rid of all my blood. And you see I don't have blood now because blood is a corrupting force in a human body. So I'm doing quite fine without it. Thank you. Jesus did this. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, well, happier are those who have not seen and yet believe. Just freaking believe it. God loves it when you believe him. As I've told you before, I'll say it again. The most wonderful thing that God can receive from you is, well, two things. Thanks for what he's done. Doesn't need your contribution, just needs thanks. And two, just believe what he says. He loves to be believed, as I've told you. Belief is the remedy for the disaster, quote-unquote, relative viewpoint, in the Garden of Eden, because the very first sin was not believing God. So the remedy for it is believing God. God loves it when that happens. It's nice to understand things. It's nice to know the whys of things. And God does. He does give us that information. And he causes certain people to understand it, and it comforts them. It helps their faith. But, oh, the value of naked faith.